Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And we are down to the finish line for political season. Yes, we are. And I've invited a number of local candidates, as you well know, and some have appeared on the program, and some have appeared more than once. And in the spirit of always being fair, I've always tried to invite both candidates or more than one candidate in some races, where you have three or four people, invite all the parties. And so some have taken me up on that, some of them haven't. One of the gentlemen who is in a very important race has taken me up on it more than once, and he is a good guy. His name is Carl Persis, and he's in the studio. Welcome, Carl.
Well, hello. So good to be here. We're at the final countdown now.
I know that you are happy about that.
Yes, I am.
A few more moments, and it'll all be over. Carl is running for Volusia County Chair of the County Council, and his website is carlpersis.com. That's a real challenging one to remember.
I hope they remember that one.
So they can go there and get more information. So here's a question I got the other day, because people, now that I have had folks on like you, Carl, they think I know something about politics, which I think I'm still very much a neophyte. Mm-hmm. But they said, I hear there's this race with Carl Persis and the county chair. What does the county chair do again? So maybe you'd be a better person to answer that for them.
Well, thank you for the question, because I have been asked that question often throughout the campaign. And it's understandable, David, that they would ask the question, because the people in Volusia County have only elected their county chair once before this, and that was in 2004. That was for Frank Bruno. So he was our first elected county chair.
Prior to that, the county itself elected its own chair.
Exactly. Okay. We used to call that spin the bottle kind of way to do it. You know, it's like, it's your turn.
Oh,
next
no.
year, it could be my
so
turn.
It wasn't else's. Such an honor, so to speak.
No, huh? It was just like, who's up?
Yeah.
And so that's how we did it. And to be honest with you, that's how most counties do it. That's how the school board appoints their chair. They decide amongst themselves. But the people in Volusia County voted in 2002 to change that way and elect their chair, and elect their chair countywide. So, again, Frank won that, and he began in 2004, served his four-year term, ran again in 2008. Now he's termed out.
He's termed out because it's just two four-year terms.
Yes, sir, just so, 2 4-year terms. So if I should win this seat, then my term would run from 2012 to 2016. Then I could run again at that time. So, but getting back to the question, the question is, what is a county chair? And so the county chair is the person that presides over the county council meetings.
And you set the agenda.
We set the agenda. I mean, the county chair can put items on the agenda. So can the entire county council.
Okay.
And just so the listeners understand, there are five districts in the county. There are five district representatives. Each district representative represents approximately 100,000 people. So we have about 500,000 people in Volusia County. And then we have another county council member that's called the at-large member. That member right now is Joyce Cusack, and she was elected by everyone in the county as well. Joyce currently serves as the vice chair of the county council. So again, I'd be running to be the chair. And to put this in terms maybe everyone can understand, it's sort of like being the mayor of the county council. Being mayor of the county. People are accustomed to electing their mayor, not so much electing their chair.
Okay.
And in fact, Duval County and Orange County are the only other counties that elect their chair. And after doing so, they changed the name of the title and changed it to mayor.
How about that?
Because it was just getting a little too crazy.
Yeah.
So when people hear the name of Mayor Teresa Jacobs, she is the mayor of Orange County.
Okay.
And Mayor Dyer, Buddy Dyer, is the mayor of the city of Orlando. So they both have the title of mayor. One's mayor of the county, one's mayor of the city. So if you can read my drift here, it may be a good thing for us in the future, Volusia County residents, to change the name to mayor.
But in the meantime, it is the Volusia County chair position.
Yes, and we don't say chairman or chairwoman.
Just say chair.
We gender neutral chair.
All right, fair enough. And CarlPersis.com. Carl Persis is in the studio with me right here. We're going to take a short break, come right back. And I want to ask you this, because I think there's a lot of things going on. I want to talk about some of the major goals you have for your term. And let's take that break and come right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Yes, we are almost at the end of the election season, and Carl Persis has come back to chat with us a little bit about what he's hoping to accomplish in his first term as county chair. So I'm going to actually ask about something that's very much a focus of mine, and that is small business. Okay, Holland Financial is a small business, and we want to know how we can grow in the county and how we can have a favorable relationship. So what are some of your thoughts about how we can help small business in our county?
You know, David, one of the things that's been talked about, I think, by every candidate, from the president to the U.S. senators, the state senators, state reps, county council, city councilmen, everyone's talking about growing the economy, stimulating job growth, if you will. And it's been interesting for me during this campaign, as I just talked to people about, you know, what are the low-hanging fruit here? What should we be doing while we're all trying to recruit that top company to come in and, sure. and bring in better paying jobs? Of course, we're doing that. But in the meantime, everyone seems to agree that the people I've spoken with is that, you know, if you could help small business owners, the people that are in this county already who are very successful. And I would say, well, what do you mean by small business? Well, maybe 20 employees or less. I don't know. We'd have to put a number
that works for me
on it. Okay. what is considered small? And then I, as I spoke to them, I said, you know, I'm not a business person per se. I said, but what about this idea? What about if I called for a small business advisory council and put together successful businessmen and women from the various parts of the county and charge them with, first of all, looking over our county policies as it relates to business, look over everything from the person going up to the county office wanting to start a business, from the person who is in business and wants to expand their business. Maybe there's a lot next door to them, or maybe there's another lot and they want to open up another office. Are there obstacles? Are there costs involved that we could reduce as a county government? Are there regulations? Is it too cumbersome? You know, break it down for us and give them maybe 90 days, six months, whatever they think is necessary, and then make some recommendations back to the county council so that we could see, okay, you know, this is what the successful people in our county say. You know, if you all just did some of these things, it would really help. And I think that would create that mindset to the county manager that, look, we want to be business friendly in this county. I want Volusia County to get the reputation that, man, that is the place to go to. If you have a business, they will just help you in any way that they can. And just kind of get that reputation going for us and then serve as a model in the county so that cities in the county can say, hey, I like what the county is doing. Let's try to do that too.
I like that. Almost like a blue ribbon panel.
Yeah, yes, yes.
You can use that if you want.
Okay, blue ribbon panel of small business owners. I love that.
I love that.
Successful small business
owners.
There you
go. That's good. Yeah. And you know what's funny, Carl, is that anytime people in leadership in the government or in other, you know, capacities make that effort and say, look, we're going to take these steps. We're going to reach out to small business. There's something funny that happens there. It's like they don't feel like they're a target. I think right now in the United States, a lot of small businesses have, rightly or wrongly, they feel like they're a target. They've been experiencing a lot of other people have as well, uncertainty. And anything that you can do at the county level to say, we're going to take away red tape, we're going to take away uncertainty, we're going to make this a more efficient process. And I know you want to talk a little bit about efficiencies within the government, because obviously any efficiencies that are created can not only reduce the potential for increases in taxes in the future, or even potentially lower them.
Yes, yes. And you know, the thing is, as usual, we always have more needs than we have funds.
Yeah.
And so when we're trying to reduce government and we're trying to make it as efficient as possible, that's one of the things that you can do, is just what you said. You can either be able to reduce that tax rate some, or you can shift that money from where you were maybe not really needing to spend it, and spend it in the areas where you really do need to spend it without raising your total budget. And so government efficiencies, and of course the one that jumps out and is probably talked about most, is our fire rescue service model that we currently have.
Let's do this, Carl. Let's take another quick break, and you breathe for a second, because I know that's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it is.
Let me take a quick break. We have Carl Persis in the studio. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back with Carl Persis talking about his candidacy for Volusia County Chair. And, you know, the thing that occurred to me on the break, Carl, is that it's really politically expedient. How's that? It's the soup du jour to talk about cutting government. But you know what? Our government, different levels of government provide, of course, essential services, as they're seeing in the Northeast right now. The toll is up to $50 billion or so in terms of damage and the rebuilding that's going to need to occur. And there's a lot of different level of governmental support services. We need government to support.
Yes.
So here's my question that maybe nobody else has asked you. We look at the cutting, and you know, I think a lot of people say, well, if we could just limit the growth of government, not so much cut it, if we are able to get more efficient, where are some places where we do need to redirect more dollars and spend more money? And this is, I think, where maybe your experience can really help us.
Yeah, it's easy when you haven't been in the job to say, oh, there must be waste, and we need to cut. And then you get in the job and you say, oh, I didn't realize this, and so forth. And so one of the items that we have just really put our head in the sand, and I say we, meaning state, the cities, the county, and that is transportation. And when I say transportation, I am talking about now everything from SunRail, which, if you will, is almost an unfunded liability that is coming down the tracks to us very, very soon. VOTRAN, but not just that, but our roads, the maintenance of our roads,
So infrastructure.
The widening of roads, adding additional roads. David, we used to have a 5-year road plan in the county. That was paid for generally by impact fees and gas tax. Now that 5-year plan is really 20 years out. That's how the revenue has been not coming in at the rate that it used to, and the cost of doing those things has gone up. So, you know, I would like to do this. I would like to call for a countywide transportation summit. I'd like to get the Department of Transportation in from the federal government as well as the state government. I'd like to get representatives from SunRail, representatives from all the city managers, planners, transportation department, and the county, and the public. I think everybody needs to come to the table with their infrastructure, roadway needs, how they see it for their particular municipality. We need to have the state and feds there to say, well, how much expected of this total cost can we expect assistance from state or feds? Show them what the county roadway plan is in the system. Show them what VOTRAN is and how much we subsidize VOTRAN to provide the services that our citizens want. And then inform everybody about SunRail, which is going to have to be subsidized like every mass transportation system is. And then say, okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, given our present funding sources, we're not going to be able to do it. So let's put all our heads together, public invited, everyone, and let's identify what are some other ways of generating revenue, some fair ways. And let's put out a list of 5 or 7 different ways, and then let's troubleshoot that. And then if we can decide that, kind of bring our case to the public and say, here's what we think, get some input from the public, because we're going to need their support when it comes to generating revenue. And it's not going to be one source the way I envision it. They'll probably come up with ideas. Well, here's 3 or 4 different ways that we can maybe generate a little bit of revenue in from all of those, be able to have a plan. So get that 20-year plan at least back down to 10 years. We need to do that. And everything has been pushed back because it's political season, and nobody wants to talk about revenue. Everybody wants to talk about cutting, because cutting's popular. Adding taxes or revenue, whatever you want to say, that's not so much. But I think the people, what I've always learned is people do not mind putting out a little more if they recognize the need and if they trust that it's going to be spent wisely.
And
address that need. And that's why I want a transparent countywide, everybody at the table, so there'll be no finger pointing and we'll all understand, yeah, we are investing in our county to make it better, and this will actually put people to work.
Well, and that's really the heart of it. I think it's really easy to say, well, it's just simple as cut spending and raise taxes, or raise taxes and cut spending, or whatever it is to address that needs to be done. There's a third component, and that's growth. And you can't grow without having a solid infrastructure. Somebody's not going to move to Volusia County and bring a 500-employee firm, or bring a firm and then hire 500 local people, if they don't have the confidence in our school system and our stewardship of our resources, natural resources, and having the infrastructure in place.
See, those are the keys right there. I mean, that's what everybody wants. And you can't have one and not have those other two, and it's not going to work. But we have the potential right here. We obviously have that tremendous quality of life and climate and beauty and all of those things. And I'm sure we'll continue to protect those natural resources. But we also have to and make sure that our infrastructure is not slipping away, because that says a lot for us. And our public education system, of course, has to be number one.
Very good, Carl. Good insight, helpful to understand how this stuff really works from the inside.
From the inside.
For us spectators out here, it's a little bit of a mystery.
Well, it is. And county government is huge. You know, it's huge. It's almost a $600 million budget. There's over 40 different departments.
Well, let's take one more break. We'll come right back. Carl Persis, carlpersis.com, and we'll be right back.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
We're back with Carl Persis. The website is carlpersis.com. He is running, in case you missed it, Carl is running for Volusia County Chair. And Carl, I think one of the things that, you know, we were talking before we started the program, and you know that I'm not a party line voter, and we've talked about that. And I think a lot of people look at the different races, and some races have become more partisan in nature when they really are, at like the county chair is a nonpartisan position. So I think we need to look at the individual without necessarily, especially in nonpartisan races, but I would argue you do it even in partisan races. You look at the individual, not necessarily the letter in front of their name.
I sure do. I vote for people from both parties. Always have, always will. And I hope that the people out there are really taking the time to learn, have learned about the candidates. There certainly has been enough information, if you want to avail yourself to it, about each of us. And I was just talking before the break about this particular job here, this particular position. It is big. It's our highest local elected office. I am the only member from the county council who is running for this office. My opponent has never held any elected office. He's never even served on a city or county advisory committee. So, in other words, in order to be the captain of the team, you have to at least have played on the team. I mean, before you're a judge, you're a lawyer. Before you're a principal, you're a teacher. You can't just jump into the head role without having any experience with what the job entails. So I ask that to people, consider my qualifications with my 7 years experience as a city commissioner and a mayor, my 7+ years experience serving on the county council, my ability to bring people together. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe now more than ever, our country and our county, we need to come together, find some compromise, some middle ground, and let's make some progress. That's what I'm all about. It's not about the party with me. It's about the people. And I'm here to serve the people.
That's pretty clear. And I think that what we need to make sure of is that we don't, you know, in our passion to champion our positions, we don't rip ourselves apart, because there won't be anything left. Somebody else will be picking up the pieces. Carl, thank you for coming back in. I know it's been a long political season, but thanks for sharing with us today.
Thank you for having me on the program. And I can't wait for, what is it, a little more than the 48 hours from now? Yeah. And we will know this, right?
We will know.
All right.
Thank you, Carl Persis, carlpersis.com.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.